So would you introduce yourselves, please?
G'day, I'm Scott. I'm from the Rubens. I play drums. Well, I try to.
I'm Elliot. I play keys in the Rubens.
We have to say we're in the Rubens.
I'm Sam.
I'm Will.
I'm Zach.
So the first thing I need to know is, you want to see me really botch a word? I'll just spell it. M-E-N-A-N-G-L-E. Menangle. See, it's not that bad. Menangle's not bad. Is that a suburb of Sydney?
It's a small town about an hour southwest of Sydney.
An hour southwest. So it's a bedroom community.
Pretty much. It's tiny. About 300, maybe 400.
So wait, so with your family, that means that there's only 299 left. So three brothers formed in 2011 with a friend, as we noticed. You won the J Award on Triple J. I believe the number I read was you were the number 57. Was it 53? Yeah. Wow, I have a good memory for early in the morning. I want you each to tell me just a little something between the lines. You know how you read a book and you hear the plot of it, but there's something much more important and better there?
People say that people think that we're three brothers and a friend, but now we're actually three brothers and two friends because we've got a new member called Will. And it's actually not three brothers. Elliot's adopted. So that, yeah, he doesn't look like any of the other brothers. I'm sorry to tell you, buddy, but you're adopted.
You played the Mercury Lounge. I know that. Now, was that the first time in the U.S., or had you played in the U.S. before that?
That was the first time.
That was the very first time. So you're in the U.S., the big U.S., oh my gosh, right? Australia's a big country, but you're not surrounded by as many weird things as we are. People might have heard four songs if they go to iTunes and they've downloaded an EP. So what's it like to be playing? I want you to talk about this for a second. You know, you go out on stage and there's a lot of buzz and there's a lot of anticipation, and it's where I'm from originally. It's New York, and oh my gosh.
We're all really nervous, like really nervous. We'd never been that nervous before, or not in a while anyway. I think it was a big thing for us. You know, our first American show was a lot of anticipation, and then seeing that there were actually people there was kind of scary, but also really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, like Elliot said, I think the fact that we had anyone there at all was pretty amazing. When you go and play in a unfamiliar territory where you haven't really released much or done much press or anything like that, to have anyone buy tickets was really cool, and it sold out. So, like, you know, it was the best possible result for a first show in the States. And I think we played well. Like, people seem to like it, and you get that kind of... it's harder when you're playing to people who generally haven't heard the music. You kind of have to win them over, and you sort of play the song and you feel like you're nailing the song, and then you don't really know how you've gone until you wait for the applause at the end. And it seemed like they liked it, you know? Like, I guess we won over some new fans.
This is kind of cool because, you know, you're kind of doing this all big time very early on. But there was, so those demos, how rough was what he heard, and then what was the process from there? And each of you...
The demo that he first heard was My Gun, and it was incredibly rough. We recorded it on Sam's laptop in his bedroom. It was barely anything. It was MIDI keyboard and MIDI drums and things. And yeah, he heard that, and for some reason, he liked it and decided... Yeah, you can probably still hear the original on YouTube somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, a friend of ours from our hometown, his name is Dean Tuzo. He actually... co-produced and co-mixed with David. He was over at a sort of, what was it, like a mix, it's called Mix with the Masters, yeah, it's in the south of France, and David was speaking at this kind of conference thing, and Dean was there. He paid to go over and learn from these guys. It was pretty good opportunity for him, and he had our demo, and we were probably going to work with Dean back in Australia at that point. He dropped the demo to David in the studio one time when they were working on something else, and David was like, what's this? So it's sort of thanks to Dean that David heard it. And then, it was pretty amazing that from having him hearing like a really, really, really rough demo, that he could, I guess, see an opportunity, you know, and maybe see some potential, because it's a bit of a leap of faith on his part. You know, he's got a big reputation, and, you know, he's one of those producers who could work with a lot of different big artist, but I guess he saw a chance to develop, and I think that's what he enjoyed about us, was that we were so new and so fresh, and we were at the very, very beginning of our career, and he could influence us, and he did.
You were originally signed, is it Mushroom Publishing? Mushroom owns, like, I think 85% of the records I get from Australia have the word mushroom on them. Mushroom seems to own, like, you know, 72.6% of Australia. So as a young band from Mushroom, tell me about how you got to Mushroom, and then tell me how the short version of how you got to the big US label, and why as a young band you would, and by the way, I am Switzerland when it comes to labels. I just get everything and I just listen to the music.
It was kind of weird because we actually had sorted out the kind of our recording with David before Triple J played our single. So there was nothing going on. We had no fan base whatsoever at that point. We just decided that we needed to go and work with David. That's all we knew because we had this opportunity. That kind of, I think, sort of turned some heads in the Australian music industry. And for some reason, a few weeks after we sort of locked it down with David, kind of, Triple J decided to play our demo, our bedroom demo. And that's when Mushroom started to get interested in a few other labels, and you know, they were like the first record label that we met with, and we had a good gut feeling about them from the start, and luckily we ended up going with them because it's been really good. Now we're with them for Australia and New Zealand, and we've just signed with Warner for the rest of the world, Warner USA, which is, I guess, is a big difference in, I mean, like you said, it feels like, I get like the difference between an independent label, a big independent label, and then a major isn't that great anymore. You know, I was worried, you know, there's this stigma surrounding major labels and they've got this reputation, and through meeting a lot of industry people, including David, we heard, you know, success stories and a lot of horror stories about major labels. So we were kind of a bit sort of hesitant, but we met with them and it's been amazing. All the dudes that we've met and everyone that's on our team at Warner, they're rock and roll. Like, I just pictured a boardroom with suits, but they're just, you know, dudes who know music and love music. Like, it's pretty cool.
There's a quote from somewhere that says, I love this. I'm going to do my full announcer voice. If you like the animals, try the Rubens. But one of the things that I've heard said is that each song is really different, and the only commonality is the voice. Now, iconic bands, when you really think about it, and we could name any of them from that, those, you know, from the them Stones or them Beatles or even them Animals with Eric Burdon. I can see where that quote could come up, most definitely. But isn't that really important, that the commonality is the voice, because that is the thing that provides over the music? So isn't that, you know, wouldn't that be the hallmark of a successful band when you come right down to it? In addition to the songs being different, because if the songs were exactly the same with the same voice, you know.
Well, we were completely aware of the fact that we didn't want to make an album that sounded similar, you know, where songs blended into the next. And, you know, a lot of records that we really like have, you know, one song, that, like, there's almost like different genres song by song. I guess it's important to have a voice that you can recognize, but I think it's also important to have instrumentation that is a signature to the band. Like, our band is, our guitar tones are very similar all the time. Elliot always plays an organ, or pretty much always plays a different sounding organ, you know, and the drums, and, like, our style is still there, whether we, you know, blend genres a little bit in different songs. The basic instrument choice kind of thing, I think, sort of makes us have a certain sound. I guess, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to talk about my own voice, so I like to talk about that. Getting big has changed month by month for us because, you know, it's all relative to where you are. It's kind of like, I think, if you talked to me 2 years ago, I would have said, if you can get me played on Triple J once and I can hear myself on the radio once, I'll retire, I'll be happy. But as soon as you get played once, you want to get played again. And, you suddenly see these opportunities where, oh my God, I mightn't have to work. Like, I could actually do this for a living. And so getting big changes in your mind. If we can quit our day jobs and we can, you know, travel around playing music and have fans, then
I want you to each tell me the name of a song that's your favorite on the record and tell me just 30 seconds about that song and why you love it.
I think my favorite on the album is Look Good, Feel Good. Because it was a big pain in all of our asses when we were writing it. It was one of the songs that just didn't happen straight away. And we worked really, really hard on it. We didn't really finish it until we finished the whole album. It's just one of those songs that kind of, listening to it now, it's kind of a relief that it got done. And I'm happy with it.
My favorite song from the record is Never Be the Same. We had like a week left of recording with David, and someone was tracking their stuff downstairs in the studio, and I went upstairs to David's studio and I was just playing around on the piano, and it came really quickly. It was just one of those songs that, you know, I think it's like if you write a song that happens really quickly, you have this sort of, I guess the opposite to Elliot, it was like a relief finishing the song. That's why he liked our song. I liked Never Be the Same because it was just so easy. It just got this positive feeling because it was a nice experience to write.
My favourite song off the album's Elvis, probably because it's just got a really, really great guitar riff. And
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between, and I play 40 minutes of solid music